Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Minister Harold Copeland, and we are here with Mission from the Heart Radio. And we pray that you have had a blessed week, and we are super, super, super excited that you have chosen to be with us again today, so that we can continue our study together concerning this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful truth, one with Jesus. One with Jesus. As I've said in previous broadcasts in this series, a oneness with the Godhead. Think about that. A oneness with the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is a oneness, my brothers and sisters, a oneness that can't be broken when you have been born again. That is just the sweetest thing that we could ever know, is that our unity with Christ cannot be broken, cannot be snatched out of God's hand. And this is a wonderful, wonderful lesson to know about God and our relationship with him as his child. Yes, we give you an opportunity in this broadcast to become a child of God. We call that time stop, drop, and pray. And as we do that, and when we come to that time or place in the broadcast today, this is where we extend Jesus to you. Now, Brother Harold does a wonderful job exposing the Word and expounding on the Word of God, that we will fully understand what it means in Scripture, one with Jesus. And we encourage you to go back to the first part of this series and bring yourself up to current so that it won't be foreign to you. You'll have all the pieces in place to understand the simplicities of what God wants us to know. So without further delay, please gather your Bible. Please gather some instrument or something to write with, to take some notes, as we continue to walk through Scripture with Minister Harold, and we will continue to be exposed to the Word of God, to where we would learn and grow in God's amazing grace. So we are going to continue with our lesson, and Minister Copeland is going to carry us forward. Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Hello again, everybody. Shalom. We release the peace of God upon you on this day. God bless you. We release blessings, 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 miracles, miracles, miracles. In Jesus' name. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, it is always an honor to be back in studio with you again. We look forward to week after week after week after week. What a great delight. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We always want you to know that it is a treat and an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the truth of the Word of God, God has downloaded a revelation of knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit will take you to God's divine plan and purpose that he has for your life. And you too shall stand and proclamate the oracles of God to this lost and dying world. As we said earlier, we're still on this wonderful, life-changing, transforming, transformation series, One with Jesus. Minister Smith just blessed me in the introduction, because when she spoke out of the oneness with Jesus. And she was describing this unity that has taken place in her spirit, man. Her eyes are open, and she is flowing in this revelation. She's walking this revelation. Glory to God. She's shining. The brightness of the glory of God comes out of her speech. And the anointing of God is upon her in a great way. And that's one with Jesus. And if you, from your heart, grab hold to this revelation, you too can flow just like that. You come to the place, one with Jesus. You are there. Jesus is there. The two became one. I mean, a single one. If you could take a picture of your spirit man, you would only see Jesus. You would not see yourself. You see Jesus. Because your spirit, your life, is hidden in him. And that's why Paul can say, Galatians 3:20, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I, it's Christ. And he's living his life in me. And see, that's what happens when the revelation comes alive in you. See, Minister Smith, prime example, beautiful introduction, speaking from the Spirit of God, the Word of God, under the power of the anointed. It's no longer Minister Smith, but it's Christ, and he's living his life in her. And that's God's will and plan and purpose for all of us, that Christ in us become our hope of glory. Let us dive right into this life-changing, transformation, awesome, anointed series. We always like to start out by reading our lunch prayer scripture. And Minister Smith, under that powerful anointing that she's under on this day, will read our lunch prayer scripture. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 17. That's in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, reading verse 17. And it reads this way: love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. As he is, so are we in this world. And our second launchpad scripture is 1 Corinthians. So we'll move to that particular book in scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read 17 as well. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, and it reads this way, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Amen.
Amen. Our spirit's been sealed, sanctified, and perfected forever. Its righteous state doesn't fluctuate with the holiness of our actions or attitude. Or should I say, with the failure of our actions and attitude. Our spirit man stays stable, anchored, one with Jesus. It never fluctuates or changes. Since salvation depends solely upon putting our faith in Jesus and being born again, our sins doesn't affect our relationship with God, because God fellowship with us based on our faith in Christ. So we proved last week by scripture that when we sin after we're born again, and notice I say when, I did not say if, when we sin after we are born again, that sin do not divide the oneness with Jesus. Man, that oneness with Jesus, that perfection, that unity, that brightness, that glory does not get affected or contaminated because it is sealed by the greatest power in heaven, earth, and under the earth. The supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, as Ephesians tells us, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling in our mortal body. And he has quickened us. And quickened means made alive. Yes, he has made us alive. In layman's terms, that means he has brought our spirit nature alive again, and he connected it. Jesus became the bridge to connect our spirit back to the spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. And that's where that oneness comes from. So when we sin, when, because it's going to happen, we do not have to get born again, because that eternal redemption, eternal salvation, eternal oneness in our spirit man will not and will never be affected by sin. So the other question we had was, once saved, always saved. Amen. And we have to listen to scripture. The wisdom of man are not what somebody think, not what Big Mama said, or not what Papa said. Not what the old preacher back in the country, not what he said, but it's what God has to say about it. And the question is, once saved, always saved. Now, you have to listen deeply to this, because it's going to come against a lot of religious traditions, denominations, doctrine. So let us read the scriptures and allow Holy Spirit to give us revelation knowledge. In other words, when Jesus said, you shall know the truth, then the truth shall make you free. That's in John 8:31-32. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth can only be revealed by the supernatural power of the Spirit of the living God. So let Holy Spirit speak to us as we enter into once saved, always saved. Now, Scripture doesn't teach once saved, always saved. There's several places discusses the possibility of becoming reprobate. Yes. Becoming reprobate and losing your salvation. Well, just stay with me. Stay with me. The word of God is coming forth. Amen. One example comes out of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. And we shall read verses 4 through 6. Let us read that.
Hebrews 6. Chapter 6 and starting in verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Amen.
Amen. Walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. Impossible. That word is in there. Impossible. For those, let's look at the ingredients. Those was once enlightened, have taste of the heavenly gift. I don't think you're talking about an unsaved person. Were made partaker of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Only believers partake of the Holy Ghost. Paul said in Romans 8, he said that if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he's none of his. So he's talking about believers. And let's keep going. Taste the good word of God. They've been sitting around this word and they've been eating. Amen. The flavor has come upon them. The savor has come upon them as when Minister Smith spoke. Amen. And the Holy Ghost in that introduction. Amen. What's it? And the power of the world to come. Amen. The power. Glory to God. She was under that power when she was coming in, giving that introduction. And they shall fall away. Amen. So that means they turned away from all that goodness we just discussed. And he said to renew. Now we got to go all the way back to impossible. Amen. Impossible to renew them. Help me out. Unto repentance. Impossible to renew them unto repentance. That's the word of God. Look at saying they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. Amen. They overlooked. Amen. The salvation. The perfection. They overlooked it, what they have confessed, and now they're looking for another one. Amen. And watch it. And put him to an open shame. Amen. They waiting for. They saying he got to go back. He got to do it all over again, and then I'll believe again, and then I'll be back on track. Impossible. Somebody say impossible. Okay. So if a person fall away, there's no more sacrifice. They said that sacrifice that I was walking in, because they were walking with the Lord. Oh, yes, they were. They were walking strong with the Lord, too. Amen. And, you know, somehow they came to the point where, that ain't enough. I need another sacrifice. Amen. Amen. This is for this one that can take me. Amen. He got to go back to the cross again. Glory to God. And that, and the scripture say that ain't going to happen. Amen. Glory to God. As the, you know, the scripture, there's no more sacrifice for these people. And that's what Hebrews 6:4-6 is talking about. And this is related to emphasizing how Jesus, one offering, provided our eternal redemption. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9 this time. And we will read verses 11 through 15.
Hebrews 9:11 through 15. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. That is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the holy, most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Verse 15, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Amen.
Going back to Hebrews 6:4-6, the believers they are referring to they bought it, the sacrifice. And they're looking for another one. They expect Christ to go back. There isn't any other. It cannot be reapplied. So they can't be born again. Jesus Christ is not going to suffer through the shame, through the humiliation to die a second time. And as was said in Hebrews 9:11-15, his one sacrifice was it forever. Once for all time, for all people, there isn't another sacrifice to look for. We can make the sacrifice of Christ of no effect by turning to legalism, catch that word, and trusting in our own works for righteousness. Amen. We can be saved. But we can become legalistic and then we can be dependent on, I did this, I did that. I'm the best usher. I'm the best tenor. I'm the best teacher. I'm the best preacher. My church is the only church that's going to heaven. Legalism. Trusting in our own works. Let's see what Paul has to say about that as we go to the book of Galatians. We go to chapter 3. And we will read verses 1 through 3.
Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. Born in the Spirit. Now I want to go and do some fleshly works that God is not receiving. Amen. See, the higher abode is the spirit man. It's the spirit walk. We have to come up higher. We rise above our circumstances. We rise above our situation. At the mountain we dance, because we know that the God in us is greater than that mountain. In the valley, we begin to rejoice because we know we're not alone. There's a lily on the inside of us, and he's in that valley with us, and he's bright. That's the noonday sun. The light is shining. Glory to God. Glory. So salvation is both received by faith of that one sacrifice that was read in Hebrews 9, and it is maintained by faith. That one sacrifice that was read, Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. And we have to grab that faith, amen, in our hearts. We have to grab it and bring it into us supernaturally by the supernatural power of the Spirit of the living God. I like the way my mentor, by the supernatural, miraculous, miracle-working power of God. That's what's in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When your eyes get open and you realize what, who, the abundance that's dwelling on the inside of you, the supernatural, miraculous, miracle-working power of God, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is dwelling in our mortal body. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead has quickened us, has made us alive. We once was dead in trespasses and sin, but Jesus came in and he made us whole again. Let us hold fast to that truth. We all in the book of Hebrews today. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. We will read verse 23.
Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen.
Amen. Now stay with me, because we're going to make a slight shift. A slight shift. Stay with me. We can't send our salvation away, but we can renounce it. Oh, yes. And I hope your eyes are open through the scriptures that we just read. We can renounce it. Now, we got to go a little deeper. Watch this. Rejecting our salvation, rejecting our faith, rejecting what we believe, it's not easily done. And we're going somewhere. It's not easily done. I'm going personally. Personally, I don't believe there are very many who do fall away. I don't. Because look at the qualification. They once had to be enlightened, taste of the heavenly gifts, were made partake of the Holy Ghost, taste of the good word of God, taste of the power of the world to come. Those qualifications are very, very high. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not there yet. Glory to God. I'm not. And if I said something stupid like, this salvation isn't working, God won't hold it against me, because I spoke out of my imperfections. Amen. I didn't speak out of perfection, because perfection hasn't overtaken me yet. Amen. My spirit man is perfect. God did that. It's perfect in all its ways, just like Jesus, that the lunch pass scriptures say. One with Jesus, as the lunch pass scriptures say. But my soul, glory to God, I have war in there every day, throughout the day. Amen. I have to fight in my soul. I have to fight in my physical body. So I'm not there. What Hebrews 6:4-6. And God, if I said something stupid, God, I know I'm speaking out of my stupidity part. I'm speaking out of my soul. I'm speaking out of the feelings of my body. I'm operating in the five senses, what I can touch, taste, touch, feel. I put them two together, taste, hear, see, and smell. I'm operating according to my circumstances, according to my situations. And I'm not operating out of the truth of the word of God. Amen. I'm not there. God will give me room to repent. And he'll give you room to repent, too. So don't many of us qualify. Let's go a little deeper. Before someone would ever renounce such greater salvation, I tell you, it is great. And when it's turned on, glory to God, you can hear it. I heard it in Minister Smith, glory to God, flowing like a river, glory to God. It's great. Somebody said great. And for someone to renounce it, they would have to become hardened. Hardened toward God to renounce something this awesome. We're still operating in the book of Hebrews. And this time we're going to chapter 3. And we would read verses 13 through 14. 13 and 14. That's Hebrews chapter 3, 13 and 14. Amen. Now write that scripture down. For time's sake, write it down. Although our spirit is unaffected by sin, our body and soul or not. In other words, sin affects them. And what sin does dull our perception, darken our wisdom, and darken our understanding of who we are in the spirit. If we persist in sin, if we persist and long enough, we can come to the place where Satan will try to make us renounce our faith in Christ. Yes. That's why we got to hold fast, as the scriptures say, the profession of our faith without wavering. However, without being totally blind to the truth, nobody in their right mind would ever reject the Lord. Amen. Nobody in their right mind would ever reject the Lord. If we renounce our faith and reject God, we can throw our salvation away. Hebrews 6:4-6. It's not something we just lose. We lost it. No. Not like we misplaced our keys. We must deliberately, keyword, and openly, keyword, deliberately and openly reject it. And that's something that takes place over a period of time. If someone renounces their faith and reject God, you can throw your salvation away. You're saved by the grace of God. So sinful acts doesn't cause you to lose your salvation. However, sin can harden our hearts until it's over a period of time. Over a period of time, we eventually come to a place where we renounce our faith in the Lord. Hebrews 6:4-6. If that happened, you remember, it's impossible to ever be restored again to repent. And this contradicts the saying, saved, lost, are born again. Those who believe you lose your salvation every time you sin also believe that all you got to do is confess it and you're saved again. You just pray through, as they say. Come back in right standing with God. The Hebrews 6:4-6 says, impossible. That can never happen. So either we don't lose our salvation because we don't meet the qualifications of Hebrews 6:4-6. We're not there yet. Or if we are there yet and we renounce it, Hebrews 6:4-6 say we can never come back. Let's look a little deeper at the qualifications that were listed in Hebrews 6:4-6. They are pretty stiff qualifications. And we must look them over carefully before condemning ourselves as reprobates, are labeling ourselves as reprobate. See, it's not talking about the time when we got frustrated and say, I'm quitting. I'm leaving that church. I ain't going back to church no more. It's not talking about that time. And then we backslid into sin. We found ourselves into some old sins and old habits. No, it's not talking about that. It's much involved than that. You can't renounce your salvation ignorantly. And that's what Hebrews 4:6 is saying. You have to be a mature Christian who were drawn by the Spirit, born again, baptized in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, mature in the Word, and operated in the gifts of the Spirit before we can reject the Lord. Only then are we held accountable. As my mentor explained it to me, he used one of his childhood experiences, and this is what he said. One time when I was a child, somewhere between 5 and 8, I became upset, and I ran away from home. I took off running. But realize my mistake, even before I lost sight of my house, where am I going? What will I eat? Where will I sleep? I love my parents. I might have been angry, but I didn't want to run away, being too proud to admit it. I got caught up in a barbed wire fence on purpose, so my brother would catch me. He'd been running after me to bring me home. Since I wasn't old enough, it wasn't held against me. Even though I was mad and had declared, I don't want to be part of this family anymore, before I ran away, it wasn't imputed unto me. If the police had been called, they would have been on my parents' side. Because I was so young, I didn't know what I was attempting, and nor was I legally able to do it. And then he said, but now I'm old enough to decide as an adult. I could change my name. I can make a formal separation from my parents. I could renounce them. And the government would back me up. And I could legally reject them. See, it's the same thing with renouncing and rejecting salvation. God knows whether someone is mature or not. And the key is God alone knows the heart. None of us can look into a person's heart and see if they became reprobate. God is the only one that can make that decision whether somebody is mature enough to renounce their salvation. He's the only one. And if they are not mature enough, he's going to always watch that confession that came out of the weakness. He's going to always wash it with the precious shed blood or the lamb. Praise God. Praise God. Now, it is that time, glory to God. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Amen. Let us just yield to the Spirit of the living God. Open up on the inside. Open up on the inside and let's begin to intercede. Amen. That's some for those that, amen, haven't had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we know that you are out there. And we know that you are sensing the presence of the Lord. We know Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart. And he wants to take your heart back to the heart of God. But he's a gentleman. He is a gentleman. And you're going to have to give him permission. And the only way you can give him permission, you're going to have to receive him as your Lord and your Savior. Now, this is the hour where we stop, drop, and pray. Holy Spirit is here. And I do what I do. Now, I get out of the way. I noticed that Minister Smith was ministering to someone in the studio. I don't know if she made it back. I'm going to check and see if she made it back, because she is the one that takes us to the cross. And if she's not made it back, then we will go to the cross together. So, Minister Smith, are you available to take us to the cross?
Praise the Lord. Yes, I am, Brother Copeland. And we are at this opportunity and time of the broadcast where we, as Minister Copeland says, and you may know already, that this is the time where we stop, we drop, praise God. This is a time that we like for you to get serious in your heart. This is a time where we know that it might be a little difficult for you to come to a time where you need to think about what you know you need to do. And this day is no longer to live in fear of what you know you need to do. And that is to give your life to Christ, your whole heart to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do not play or come half-hearted, if you will, to the throne of Christ, meaning the feet of Jesus, where we bow down, whether you can do that literally or bow your head. Maybe you're able to just lay down on your belly, flat, to where you have no distractions, and that you have made a mature decision for your life to no longer to be running away from Christ. But now you've come to the place in your heart where you have cleaved to the Lord Jesus Christ, to where you've ran to him and you've just draped yourself at his feet in a reverential position to say, here I am, Lord, here I am. And this is the most beautiful time in your life to do right now. No procrastination, dismiss that. No more woulda, coulda, shoulda, dismiss that. No more I'll get around to it, dismiss that. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the hour of the day that you say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. This is the day, my brother, my sister, today. And we cannot encourage you enough to say yes to Jesus. And so we pray at this time with you, not for you, because it's your words, as Minister Copeland has said, it's your heart that God and God alone knows and sees, your heart. So we are just to encourage you to come wholeheartedly to the feet of Jesus, making your petition known unto him, that you will be born again. Hallelujah. And this is a joy for Minister Copeland and I, that you do this. It's a joyous time. So if you prepare yourself the best way you know how, reverential, wholehearted, we can't say that enough because God knows the condition of our heart, and that condition needs a surgeon, and God is our surgeon. He dismisses, he heals, he rejects any and everything that you have done in thought, word, and deed against him. And so this day has been set for you to come to know him. So let's pray. Now, keep in mind, it's my words, my brother and sister, but it's your heart that he sees. And as you confess to him that today you are ready, willing, and able to say yes to his will and yes to his way. God loved you so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's what he gave to you, Jesus Christ, and to me, to Brother Harold. He gave Jesus to all, that we will not perish, but have eternal life. The free gift of salvation. Hallelujah. So keep that in mind as we go to the feet of Jesus in prayer. So let's pray. Lord God, here I am. Lord God, I bring nothing but myself. I bring myself, Lord, to your feet. I cry out to you saying, save me. Lord, my faith in you is where it wants to be. I confess that I am a sinner, but my heart knows that Jesus died on the cross for me. It was only his blood, Lord God, that I now understand that cleansed my sins from me. Lord, I'm tired of running from you. You loved me so much, Lord God, that you gave Jesus for me. Here I am, Lord. Here I am saying yes to your will and yes to your way. My faith is anchored in you. And I thank you, Lord God, for your grace upon grace upon grace for me. I don't deserve Jesus as my Savior, but because of your love for me, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. I surrender my life, my heart, and everything within me to you. You are my precious way. You are my truth, Lord God, and you are my eternity life. Thank you, Lord God, for saving me. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray today, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And amen. As you raise your head up, as you get up off the floor, as you get off your bending knee, hallelujah, we rejoice with you. We pray that maybe you've done a little hallelujah dance, and maybe your arms are going from side to side, just giving God all the exaltation that you know how to do, just giving him a hand clap of praise in the best way you know how. Maybe it's just speaking in a way that only he knows what you're saying. Maybe it's just a dance before the Lord with a hallelujah every step of the way. It does not matter. He gets the glory, and that's what you and I are to do. We rejoice with you. Brother Harold and I, we are rejoicing with you. And so many more others are rejoicing with you, my brother and sister. This is a day of rejoicing. Hallelujah. That you have said yes. My, my, my. Now, we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church within your community. You would be baptized by submersion of water. This lets the world know that you are a Christ follower, that you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that no one can deter you or have you to go left when you know you need to stay right, right in Christ, one with Jesus. And we also encourage you to seek out a Sunday school class or maybe a small group discipleship class that you can be held accountable, that you would grow and go. This is the mature believer that Brother Copeland talked about, becoming mature in your faith. And as you continue to search the scriptures through Mission from the Heart Radio and that small discipleship group, that you can be held accountable. And that's what we need, accountability, as we grow up in grace. So we are so forever grateful to God for your faithfulness to him. And that's capital H-I-M. Faithful to God Almighty. And as we continue with the broadcast, I'm just excited for what you have said yes, for who you have said yes to. This is a joy. This is a joy. And as Minister Copeland comes back to rejoice with us together, we encourage you to stay faithful. Stay faithful to the one who transforms lives. Minister Copeland?
Amen. My spirit man is happy. My spirit man is full of joy for you. Hallelujah. Because your confession snatched you out of the hands of the devil. And now you are in the hands of the Most High God, El Elyon. Glory to God. And you know what? The Word of God says that no one can pluck you out of his hand. He said he would never leave you or forsake you. He said that he is with you to the end of the earth. So if you jumped out of his hand because of that promise, he's jumping right with you. David said, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? He said, if I made my bed in hell, he'll be right there with me. Paul said, what can separate us from the love of God? And he just named everything, neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor things here, things to come, not angels. Glory to God. He said, nothing can separate you from this union that you have stepped into. So you can say now, as 1 John 4:17 said, as Jesus is, make it personal, so am I right now. Not when you go to heaven, so am I right now in this world. As 1 Corinthians 6:17 said, he that joined unto the Lord is one in spirit. The oneness, the glory, the power of the living God. Hallelujah. You can say, he's alive. Glory to God. He's alive. You can come against every lie of the devil. He's alive. He's alive. Glory to God. And then you can confess the most glorious part of it. He's alive in me. He's living on the inside of me. Glory to God. Amen. And no matter what your circumstances were or what your circumstances is and what your situation was, no matter how big the mountain was, how low you got in the valley, glory to God. You got hope? Oh, yes. You got hope because the Christ in you is your hope of glory. Hallelujah. You're on the journey now. Oh, yes. It's a journey now. Glory to God. See, Isaiah tells us that no weapon formed. We got to stop there. You're going to see the weapons, and they're going to be formed. Glory to God. They're going to try to come against you. But Isaiah tells us it won't work. It won't work. It will not work. It will not prosper. In other words, you shall overcome. Glory to God. Because you shall overcome because you have already overcame. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a glorious hour. It's an hour of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God in me. God in you. Our hope of glory. Now, for those that was already saved, that may have thought they became a reprobate, I got good news for you. If you're repenting, you're not a reprobate. If you're sorry for what you've done, you're not a reprobate. Do you desire to be in relationship with the Lord? You're not a reprobate. Holy Spirit is still dealing with you. You weren't mature enough when you turned your back off the other way. Like Paul, you were forgiven because you was ignorant. I was ignorant when we did the things we do. And we're gonna close by reading 1 Timothy. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we will read verse 13.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insult man, insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did not, or I'm sorry, it says, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We attain mercy and grace because we did it ignorantly. We are just like the mighty man Paul. God is still our heavenly Father. May the grace of God go before you. May the peace of God rest and abide in your hearts and minds forever. And may the love of God flow out of each and every one of us, that someone will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I love you. God bless you. See you next week. Minister Smith.
Praise God. Praise God. Yes, we are so thankful for what you do for Mission from the Heart Radio. We always say this at the end, the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away season after season after season. But the word of God, hallelujah, will remain forever and ever and ever. Now that's something to rejoice about. We bless you and thank you for your faithfulness to God and God alone and for Mission from the Heart Radio. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and we will meet again on next week.